And we're going to read through verse 44. Matthew 27, starting with verse 27, these are the words of God written to you, his people. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed down, saying, "Hail!" Then they spat and struck him on the head. And when they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Simon. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they cast up and they put over his head, they put up written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers, one on the right, on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him. "Wow, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He said, if he is the King of Israel, come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted over him now, if he will have, "I am the Son of God." Even the who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this reading of your word and the account of our Savior's sacrifice. We pray, Father, now that you would teach us. Teach us, Lord, what you would have us to know about those who were wagging their heads and shooting out the lip, using their tongues for evil. Teach us, Lord, from your word, what we may know about Christ and his sacrifice and his dying for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle James warns us of the power of the tongue. And there's probably hardly a manifestation of the power here where Christ is being persecuted and crucified and then being mocked by those who are there, those who are passing by. James is the tongue we know. But it can do much damage. James remember, but boasts great things. We can tame power ships through great winds, but we cannot control the tongue. The tongue defiles the whole body. The tongue and is set on fire by hell. We tame all kinds of beasts, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, like a snake, full of deadly poison. And with it, we bless God our Father and curse men with the same tongue. It is all these things that James talks about that Jesus experienced on the cross from those who passed by, from the Pharisees and the elders and the chief priests and even the two crucified criminals beside him. And what was hurled at him we might call cross words. Words of anger. Words of accusation. Words of taunting. Words of mocking. These words that were said to Jesus when he was on the cross were full of poison and evil. And they were words that were meant to set on fire the one who claimed to be the Son of God. They were words meant for a blasphemer, one who cursed God by claiming to be God and the Son of God. This is what those people thought of Jesus. And this is why they hurled cross words at him, along with justifying themselves for putting Jesus on the cross. The sinful depravity of man is on great display here at the foot of the cross, and the utter inability from God in these cross words. They were showing themselves for who they really were. They had him nailed to a cross now. They could say whatever they wanted because they believed that he could not come down. They had humiliated him. They were showing him in his weakness and seeking to defeat him in the eyes of all the people. They could say basically to the people, do not trust this man. You can't believe what he says because he cannot even save himself. God will not rescue him. And these cross words were meant to refute Christ's words. They were meant to refute all himself and all that he had claimed that he had come to do. And yet they serve to remind us of the very reason that Jesus was on the cross. And I want to exhort you to do two things with these cross words this afternoon that we see these people saying. First, examine these cross words for their truth, or for their falsehood, rather. And also to profit from these cross words. To not just look at them and say, oh, those people were wrong for saying it. But to see and ask the Lord, how can we profit from looking at these cross words that they were hurling at Jesus Christ? And so let's first then examine these cross words. As I mentioned, cross words Jesus were taken from things he had claimed he would do or claimed about himself. And so first we see here in verse 39, it tells us, and those who passed by blasphemed their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a public display of Rome's power over anybody who sought to challenge them. And they would often crucify people in public. And what was going on here was nothing new. People could come by and say whatever they wanted to say to those who were being crucified, casting cross words to them. And this is what was happening to Jesus Christ. The people were given an opportunity. And here the Bible says, they were blaspheming him who was accused of being a blasphemer. And here the word blasphemy is used to speak irreverently of man. And here they were doing both, yet they were ignorant of it. They referenced Jesus' claim from John chapter 2, verse 19. After he had cleansed the temple, the Jews gathered him to give them a sign of his authority to take charge in the temple and to cleanse it, to kick out the money changers and to kick out those selling animals. Jesus' response to them was to predict the sign. He wasn't going to give them a sign at the moment. His response to them was to predict a sign that was coming, saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This is the accusation that is used by those who are passing by. And yet they even misquoted Jesus. He didn't say, I will destroy the temple. But they said, You on the cross who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Jesus gave them this prediction of that sign that was coming. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And now that Jesus was nailed to a cross, the prediction as a joke. How are you, who can't even come down from the cross, how are you going to rebuild the temple? Your name And so come down, if you are the Son of God. Come down and show us with what power you will rebuild the temple. And so what is it they're trying to get across to the people all around them? That person hanging on the cross was weak and useless and could not do what he claimed to do. And thereby he was not the Son of God. As they said, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So their whole point of these cross words that they were hurling at him was to show his impotence, to show his lack of power, and that he was not able to deliver on the promises that he had made. The promise of rebuilding the temple, sure. His resurrection from his body. They were trying to prove that he would not be able to rebuild that stone temple. But even in saying so, they were also seeking to show that he was so weak he could do none of the things that he promised. If you are the Son of God, which was to imply you are not, the Son of God would not be nailed to a cross. So in trying to cast him as weak, they were saying, you're just like any other man, and you're not the Son of God. The second statement is found in verses 41 to 43, where the chief priests, the scribes, return with cross words. The passers-by were speaking directly, addressing him directly. Now we hear from these religious leaders, they are simply talking amongst themselves in Jesus' presence. And you may have experienced something like that when you know that somebody is talking about you and they know and you know that you're right there, but they're not addressing you. That in itself is also a mocking action, a sign of hatred and mockery. Luke says in his account that they sneered at him, turning up their noses to him. The substance of their mocking was a little bit different. They start out in verse 42 where we read, he saved others. Lazarus and the many healings, the miracles that Jesus had performed. But when they say he saved others, they weren't giving Jesus credit. They weren't speaking well. Remember that in Matthew 9, verse 34, when he had cast out demons, he cast out. They admitted that these things took place, but even then, they were blaspheming the Son of God, saying that he did these by the power of the devil. So even here, when they say he saved others, they are not speaking well of Jesus. They're using it as a comparison that he cannot save himself. This was to discredit Jesus as claims of sonship to God. His claims to save their people from their sins. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And here is somebody, if he cannot save himself, how can he save others, really? If God is not with him to save him, then how can God be with him to save others? He can't do it. He's unable to save himself, let alone anyone else. He is weak. He is useless. This was the general nature of these accusations against Jesus Christ. Then we see these same religious rulers, in their mockery of him, where they use cross words referring to his being the king of the Jews. As Jesus did in fact claim that he was the king of the Jews in Matthew 27, verse 11, when he was before Pilate. Here they tried to prove he was not, that this was a false. But what kind of king would be named? What kind of king? The fact that Rome did this was a statement that he was not at all. For they would not recognize a king who could not deliver them from Roman rule. Unlike what they had just said, they had no intention of following such a king who showed such weakness. even if he had come down, even if he had removed himself from the cross, in which they say, if he does come now we will believe him. Miracle after miracle had been done in front of their eyes, and they had no intention of believing now as well. And then thirdly, we see the next 43, where it tells us he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, the Son of God. This is an even higher elevation of attack against Jesus with cross words. Now they are attacking his value before his heavenly Father. They are attacking whether he loves him or delights in him. And here they're seeking to show the evidence that God supposed son. And this was really at the foundation of all these cross words. If you were the Son of God, isn't it logical that God would rescue you now from this cross? But isn't it also logical that since he is not, you are not the Son of God? This is the thing that David prophesied in Psalm 22:8, saying, he trusts to rescue him, let him deliver him since he delights in him. This is what these people were arguing right here. If he's the Son of God, and if God takes delight in him, he will deliver him. That's what they mean, but when they say he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. And so despised, so was their despising of Jesus, and so was their attempt to persuade people that he was to be despised, that they would even go so far as to say that God won't even have him. Why should you? Why should you be interested in such a man who claims these things, but God will not rescue him? God will not take delight in him. This was not what they were denying was that it applied to Jesus. Yes, they probably believed that God would rescue his Messiah, but they didn't think Jesus was this Messiah, and so therefore, him being on the cross was proof and evidence of God's lack of love for him. And no greater cross words could be said to someone in such a relationship with his heavenly Father as Jesus had with his. These cross words focus on Jesus' inability to come down from the cross. Psalm 22:8, as they referred to it, was a jab at his ability to come down with the help of his Father. These cross words sought to prove that Jesus was weak and unable to carry out his promises. Weakness, as one who could not rebuild a torn down temple. Weakness as a defeated king, and most of all, weakness as a forsaken son. One whose parents did not care for them, would not love them, would not take them, despite what they were saying about Jesus, that he is in this condition. He claims that God is his Father, but look, God now, and that proves he is not the Son of God. So how could he save others if he cannot save himself, and if God will not save him either? Well, these are the cross words that were spoken to Jesus. These are the evil and poisonous words that were used to try and discredit him. This wasn't just because people were angry and mad at what Jesus said. There was an attempt here to persuade people to not believe in Jesus Christ. And so we must take that thought and turn it around. We must take that thought after examining these things that they have said, and we must look at them and say, how words? And we can profit from crosswords. We can see, as we examine these things, what's really true behind the words that Christ's enemies used against Him, though they were abusive and false and hurtful, to say the least, but they can be profitable for us. We can take the words from the passers-by and go back and meant and discovered that they a stone building. And as the Scripture tells us in John chapter 2, He was speaking of His body. And when they did in and as they were at this very moment, which they did through the cross, we profit from knowing that what He said about Himself did come true. He did raise it up in 3 days. He did resurrect to new life. How thankful we should be, and how thankful we should be that we understand by God's revelation to us that Jesus was speaking of His resurrected body, and in that providing salvation to us. If He comes down from that cross, He would not have been able to rebuild that temple which was His body. He would not have been able to save those He came to save. He had the cross to accomplish what God had sent it to do. It was because He was a man that He could die. And it was because He was God, the Son of God, that He could take up His life again and rebuild that temple which He spoke about, which was His body. Being the king. And we can see that what Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And see why he saved himself. Because his kingdom depended on him dying for his people, not saving his own life. His kingdom would not exist if he comes down from that cross just to prove He is a king and has the power of a king. His kingdom depended on Him dying for His people to make them holy, because His kingdom is holy. That they may be of the same nature as the kingdom, and that His resurrection would precede His ascension to the throne of His kingdom. If He comes down from the cross, we don't profit from that. He did not seek to show Himself to be a powerful king in that sense, physically, but as one who, in His weakness, was providing salvation for His people to enter into His kingdom. We can pray and all destined to happen in God's sovereign plan to redeem His people. And that's why we read in our singing Psalm 22, all that is happening here on the cross of Jesus Christ was written about in Psalm 22 by the prophet David. In Isaiah 53, he says in verse 12, "Therefore Him a portion with the great, because He poured out His soul unto death." We can see that God was and is going to take delight in His Son's sacrifice. He is going to bless Him. He is going to reward Him. He is going to give Him an inheritance, of which we are that inheritance. He is going to give Him a kingdom of all the nations. Yes, He is the King. He is the King of the Jews, and He's the King of the world, and He sits at God's right hand, and God is giving Him an inheritance. Psalm 22, verses 30 to 31 tells us, upon the next generation, the righteousness of a people, to a people who will be born, that He has done this. Who are those people? Who are those people to be born? It is us. It is all of us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrificial work at life cross. We profit from these cross words when they said, "He saved us, He cannot save." What would we say to that in defense of Jesus. We should be thinking He did not come to save Himself. He came to save others. And they tried to switch the mission. They tried to turn what God was doing on its head. But Jesus Himself said He came not to be served, but to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many. It was never on Jesus' mind to save Himself. It was never on Jesus' mind to forego the cross. It was always on His mind to do the work of His Father. And so these cross had two sides. Speaking of His ability to save Himself from physical death when they hurled these out. But the other side is also true. He could not save others. If He did, He could not save others. He could not. John 12, verse 27, Jesus said, "Now I and what shall Father save me from this hour?" Jesus is asking the people, "My Father, Father, save me." But Jesus responds and says to His own question, "But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name." He would not come down from that cross because that's what He came for. He came to save a people, not Himself. So as we promise Himself. And just a few verses later there in John 12, He says, "And I will draw all peoples to Myself." That's what He came for. He did not come to save Himself. He came to save you. He came to suffer those accusations. He came to suffer those cross words on the cross so that He could save you and not Himself. So if you have profited from Jesus saving others and not Himself, if so, praise the Lord. Give Him thanks. But if not, and you see these words that are hurled at Jesus, these cross words, reject them as lies. And believe in Him who stayed on the cross, not to save Himself, but to save others. That is God's call upon your life, to believe in the One who would not come down from the cross. And if you have done that, rejoice. But if you have not done that, then I call upon you today to look to this Jesus who stayed on the cross, to die to pay for the sins of all those who would trust in Him. That's God's call to you today. Praise God for His work. Praise God for keeping Jesus on the cross and raising Him from the dead for your sake. Let us pray. Father God, for this account of Jesus Christ, how we can look at the words that people said in trying to persuade others that He was not who He said He was. But we recognize, Lord, by Your revelation and Your Holy Spirit, that by He demonstrated He was the Son of God who came to save and to give His life as a ransom for many. Thank You, Father, for this great blessing, great work of salvation. In Jesus' name.